Okay, I hope that you still have the pages. We're learning from the Oris Eretz Yisrael, which was quoted by Abshail and Eretz Chayfetz. We're moving through this piece from Avraham Aviner explaining the Torah of Rav Kook and Oris Eretz Yisrael. There's a lot here. We didn't even get to the Eretz Yisrael part yet in this Torah, which may come over the next few years we should get to. Days in Mitzvah Shem we should get to. We're on page 101 on the bottom of that footnote, 146. We were talking at the last shiur 2 weeks ago about what it means to live without the oisius of the neshama. Without the letters of the soul that Rav Kook is talking about. In the way of a separation between the guf and the neshama, we're talking about katnas adas. Rav Kook always came back to this. Katnas and godless, the different way of thinking. We're on the bottom, all the way on the bottom of page 101, in that footnote. Let's review a little bit. It's been some time. So, for those who have the page where it says, V'al-Kach, Kaisav Harav, I just want to remind you that you just have to sign up, that there's a thing on the phone. I don't know what you have to put in there to get to it. Shlomo Carmeli is not here right now, but he's taking care of it. Any pages from now on, you can just check on the thing. If you're signed up, you'll check on the thing, and you'll be able to print the page and to bring it in. So we don't have to always handle all the pages and photostatting. It's easier like that. So let's just review that paragraph on the bottom. Val kach kaisev harav. This is what we were doing last time. Just quickly review. The small way of thinking, there is hidden eres pnimi, a deep inner poison. Adam shadaito ktana hu adam mur'al. A person who has small das is somebody who's poisoned. What's the poison? Shenidma al yodo shakol hantoke menachol alakodesh. Just to remind you, in this Torah that we're learning in the Oris of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook said that there are two ways of looking at life, or looking at ourselves, looking at the world. One way is to see Yiddishkeit, Ruchnius, Avodas Hashem, as Mitzius Meleya. Mitzius Meleya means that is the realest thing in my life. That is what's most real in my life is that world of the Isis, of the letters of the Neshama and so on, Ruchnius of Avodas Hashem. That's the Mitzius Meleya. The other way, which is the poison that Rav Kook is talking about, is when a person goes through the motions of living a life, a Jewish life, but there's that feeling always that Rav Kook is describing here, Shenidmal Yodo Shekol Hantaka Minachol Elakaydash. That any separation from the mundane, going over to Kodesh, to Kedusha, this person has a feeling that I'm leaving the world of Yesh, of substance, and I'm entering into a world of Afsius, of nothingness. Of Ruchnius is something which is not tangible, it's not real. Spirituality, something like you'll have a person that will, you know, that he'll enjoy learning something that's very much part of the world that he lives in, whether it's in Bav Metzia, whether it's in Brochus. But then when he learns something in Nefesh HaChaim or in Tanya, something in Ruchnius, he feels like it's not concrete, it's not substantial, it's not real, it's something which is fluffy, it's flowery, it's not anything that I can relate to, and so on. It's not a Metzius Meleya. So Rav Kook says, this is the poison of our lives that causes us to be people, chalila, who live in Kitnas Hadas. I mean, Godless Hadas is when a person knows and it's clear to him that my Ruchnius is the Mitzias of my life. That doesn't mean to ignore work and to ignore Gashmius and to take care of my health and everything else that needs to be taken care of in the house, etc., of course. But the Mitzias Hamalei of my life is not, these things have to get done, but it's chaval that I have to leave. It's chaval that I have to leave Shabbos to go to Chol. It's chaval that I have to leave the Sefer to go and to take care of these things. Chaval doesn't mean to be depressed or to be upset, but it means to have that godless of das, to know that I'm moving now from something which is a mitzias that is not mitzias malaya. I'm leaving a mitzias malaya, the true mitzias, which is Shabbos, which is the mitzias malaya, because the tachlis of our lives is elokus, is the baruch shalom, is being oved Hashem. And I'm leaving that when I go to Chol, even though I could find many good things in Chol to work on, but sof kol sof, it's not the true yeshus of my life. Therefore, by Chabad, the tzaddikim taught that even though to us it seems on the surface that creation took place in such a way of there was ayin, there was nothing, right? And then Hashem created everything. So we're living in an existence of Yesh Me'ayin. Nachon? Yesh Me'ayin. Hashem took, there was nothing, and now there's something. But the Alter Rebbe and all of his descendants always spoke about how that's really a very, very shallow and external way of looking at life. The true way of looking at life is that there was Yesh, and now we're in a situation of Ayin. Just the opposite. There was Yesh, Elokus is Yesh, and what we're living in is Ayin, is nothing. And you could tell in 5 minutes what kind of person we're talking to, which direction is, you know, where is he? He's either a Yesh me Ayin or an Ayin me Yesh type of a person. And what Rav Kook is saying here is that if this person feels Shenidma al Yoda Shekol Hantaka Min Achol al HaKodesh, that any time that I have to leave Chol to go to Kodesh, that I'm leaving, any time when I'm leaving the physical, the mundane, and I'm going to Kodesh, it's Dechia Meyeshus Alafsius, I'm leaving something which is real, Chol is real, and I'm going to Ruchnius, Ruchnius is Afsius, what is it? Kilo Achol Hu Yeshus Vila Kodesh Hu Afsius. Then Rav Kook says, "V'afal pisha ha'yidah hachitzayim and agedus lazeh." Even though what we see with our eyes, like I just spoke about from the Tanya, is minagedus lazeh. To us, this is the mitzias malaya, that what we're looking at. This is mitzias malaya. And the Tanya explained why when Chazal say the ka kois, whoever gets angry, it's kilo oivad avad azar, right? Whoever gets angry, whoever loses his temper, it's kilo who is worshipping idols. So that's an upsetting Maimah Chazal. It's something you can get angry about, that Chazal. And what is it? Why is it called Avodah Zarah? Kalakoes kilu oved Avodah Zarah. Kalakoes kilu oved Avodah Zarah. You might say it's not good, but kilu oved Avodah Zarah. But the Tani explains, if this thing is getting you upset, if whatever, your job, your life is getting you upset, not talking about Ruchnius, that's something else. But if the Mitzias that you're in is getting you upset, it's Ki'ilu, you're worshipping another God. Because the God that we're supposed to be worshipping has revealed to us that this is not it, that the world that we see with our eyes, not work and not even marriage, this is not the Mitzias Malaya. This is not it. Therefore, when a person gets angry, he loses his temper, he's buying into that illusion. Ki'ilu, if my boss insulted me, my world now falls apart. That's called worshipping an idol. Because this world is not the Mitzias Malaya. What are you getting so fahitzed over Chol? What are you getting so worked up over something that's ayin, that really is ayin? Is ayin. What are you getting crazy about ayin? Are you losing your temper over ayin, over nothing? What are you losing your temper over? Ayin. when a person is disappointed with his learning, with his davening, of course that has to be done properly as well. But then the disappointment is, ach, something is wrong with my yesh. I'm not doing well with my davening. That's already, that's my reality is out of order. There's something wrong with the real world. When people say that silly thing, like they always that after Yontif, all right, now we're going to go back to the real world, or, you know, the rabbi makes some talk about that, going to the real world, and this is not the real world. This is the real world. It's not the real world. The real world is the Mitzius Malaya, is Ruchnius, is Elokus. This world that we're in is Ayin, Mamish. Ayin, Mamish. It's a whole different way of thinking. So when a person is not doing well in his learning and his davening, no, there's already something to be, you know, concerned, to be metapel. But if you didn't get the raise, or if you didn't get something didn't work out, you know, in the house, or even, you know, in more important things in this world that we call life, besides, they have to be taken care of. One has to be very, very serious about things. But kolakoris is kilo over davadazar. But if you lose your temper, you're worshiping a different god. You're not worshiping Hashem. It's not God. You've fallen into that. Mistake. Kilu, this is the Mitzius Malaya. Even though our eyes don't say that. Afa pi Rav Kuk writes, Shahoidah, Hachitzayna, Minagenes Lazer. We have to admit that the way things look, this is what's real and this is what's serious. And that Ruchnius is like, you know, it's something like a nice thing that we believe in. It's some spiritual thing. It's not real. Im Tishol also, so Avinair explains, Im Tishol also, Hareshav Ofen Chitzoni, Uloyoda Bekachem Neishu Dati, is what we talked about last time. Mitzat Kabbalah Samudah Shemisaed, this is Kol Shel, Gama Nishbal Bekatnus, Becholzos Bats Miusa, Shel Haakara, Chaser Zahayisod HaMeir, could be even a person who's officially a religious person. He's a person who's dati. And therefore, any person who's dati, who's religious, will say to you, no, of course, religion is more important to me. Of course, God is more important to me. My ruchnis is more important to me than Gashmi's. Because that's the party line. So everybody says that. But the yisod hameir, that yisod, to feel that which illuminates my life, what illuminates my life is Shabbos. What illuminates my life is a kapitel tehillim. What gives me tachlis and purpose in my life is a mitzvah. Hamazir is nishmas adam b'sarich yusa shayodah haneshama tevua kula b'hakarosa helyona. And what's the hakar helyona? What's the higher way of thinking? Shekol hantoka menachol el hakodesh, that every time that I have to tear myself away, that I go away from chol to kodesh, hibricha michorban v'afsius el yishuv. Chol is churban and afsius. Churban. The mundane, the profane, the secular. It's churban, it's afsius. Only to the degree that I could add meaning to the mundane with my avodas Hashem. But otherwise, what is it? It's churban, it's afsius. And now that I'm able to go away from that and to open up my sefer, I'm able to return to my learning, to my davening, to the tachlis. Now I'm going back to the yeshuv. I'm leaving a place of churban. I'm leaving that place of the lamates malachis that we're learning about from the Baal Shem this morning. I'm leaving the world of the lamates malachis, and where am I going? We're learning this morning. Where am I going? Who's still here from this morning? Just me. Oh, Ezra's. So we're going. We're leaving the lamates, and we're going to where? Achas. Echad. I'm leaving the lamates malachis. I'm going where? Echad. That's what's happening in a few hours. We're leaving the Lama test, the 39 Malachas, which are the 39 curses, which is the Mishnah calls in, we learned this morning from the Baal Shem, the Mishnah calls in Shabbos in the 7th parak, the first Mishnah is Arbaim Chaser Achas. This world is a world that is Chaser Echad. It's missing the one, the only one. It's missing God. We don't see that. And that's why the Baal Shem Tov explained, we learned this mamash this morning, that's why work, this world is called, that's what it means, this world is called Arboim Chaser Achas. It looks like it's mamish Arboim, it's like everything, because the Lamtas Malachas really are all things that we do in life, are the 39 categories of work, right? Include everything in life. The only thing that's missing is what? It's Chaser Achas. It's missing Echad. Echad Yachad Miyuchad Kadosh Baruch. It's missing that we don't see that. We don't see that. Ha'isa mitzvah achas. But when we're engaged in Yiddishkeit, now what's Hashem? It's ha'isa is mitzvah achas. Achas. Everything is one. Everything is one. Of course, the highest, it's very, very hard madrega to make tikkunim in this world, to be able to see the echad even in work and in eating and sleeping and so on. That's a big avod. That's the birum, that's the yichudim that a person makes. It's a very hard madrega. But when a person feels that, oh, yeah, I'm leaving, I'm leaving, I was having like a good year, everything was going well, and now, like, you know, it's, I have to clean for Pesach. It's that way of thinking is what exactly what Rav Kook is calling katnus, katnus, katnus. You're cleaning for Pesach. It's the biggest tikkun that we have the whole year is cleaning the chametz. Of course, the people that are not icing on that, they have to double up on everything else. They're missing that, the chas v'shalom going away somewhere, that cleaning for Pesach. But the cleaning for Pesach is that all the tikkunim, all the yichudim, the sounds that come out from the shofar, krasotim, krechsim, like that, Berditchev said, that through the shofar the sounds go up from the krechsim that a person did when he was going under to clean clean the chametz, that's the sound that goes through the shofar. And all the shef and all the bracha, everything we have from the entire year, all of the brachas, all that happens, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, is through the work that a Jew does to prepare for Pesach, and Gashmis and Aruchnis, and all the yichudim. When a person is doing that, it's unbelievable. But Das of Katna says, oh, I was having things were going nicely, things are going easily, and now I'm busy, I have to clean, I have to do this, I have to do that, and it's a pain in the neck to get ready for Pesach and so on, and all the cooking and all the preparing and so on. That's something which is hard. It's hard, it's difficult. That's exactly the katnus of Cook is talking about. Your way of thinking is chol is gishmak, chol is wonderful, chol is you enjoy, and when it's going into a yontif, going into kodesh, that's hard. That's something that's not beemis. It's an interruption to my life. Pesach is an interruption. The cleaning is an interruption to my life. That's the main reason why people go away. They say it's to be everybody together with them, but the emes is they're going away to get, so they shouldn't have, because Pesach is an interruption. It's an interruption. So how could I change the interruption into a vacation? That's the meaning of going away. I could change the interruption because I was just enjoying myself, and now there's this horrible interruption that God said we can't have any chametz, so I got to go crazy with all this stuff and get nervous. So that's an interruption. So now that came up in modern times. Really, when I was growing up, there was very little. There was one place, two places, but now it became... The ones who remained behind are like lo yutzlachs, you know, like shlamazels. So the whole thing is that Pesach is an interruption. It's an interruption. So how do I make that interruption, that little journey into Ruchnias, how do I make that into a vacation to satisfy my Gashmias? So I'm making Pesach into something which is Gashmi, you understand? How do I make Pesach into something which is Magusha? When we left Mitzrayim, we went from Avdus to Cheres. Avdus to Cheres means that we went from Ayin, Egypt, nothing. Where? Into Yesh, into true reality, which is Yerushalayim, which is Avodas Hashem. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim means. It means that every year on Pesach, there's an aura that comes this time of the year that we're able to be free from that delusion of this world being the Mitzvah Samalaya. That mistake of taking this world too seriously. That katnus. And we're able to go where? To a place of chayrus, to be free. That's true malchus. That's what it means to sit by the Seder. In your own house with your family, Bez Hashem. That's what it means. That's what malchus is. But when a person is living in a place of katnus, so then Pesach is an interruption. So then the question is, how do I make Pesach into something which is also chol? Like by the Balei Tshuva, you know, by they have the turn, what do they say, into Shabbos?
Turn Friday night into Shabbos.
No, it's to make Friday night, your whole life it was Friday night. Now you're making it Shabbos, something holy, right? The Pesach resort thing is turn Pesach into Chol. I mean, turn Passover into a weekday. How much more can Pesach be like a weekday? And I have to say, of course I have to say, but how could I change Passover into a weekday? That's what it means. You don't think you're going to be part of, if you come to this year, you expect before Pesach again about these things. And I don't mean that to any individual chassan, because I know that each person, b'fnei atzmai, has a hidden reason why they have to do these things. But I'm talking b'chlal, what's going on. And I thought people don't think this way, they don't understand, like I'm crazy. This mamish taking Pesach and making it to Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, and those people are going back to Mitzrayim. But they feel, what do you mean? This is Mitzrayim? If I'd be at home, that would be Mitzrayim. Because at home, I have to clean up after the meal. I have to eat everything. I have to make a new batch of coleslaw. I have to fix this. I have to do that. So I don't want to be in Mitzrayim on Pesach. I want to be free from Mitzrayim. So where am I going to be free from Mitzrayim? So I'm going to go to the Grand Hyatt in Cancun or something, and I'm free. I'm free from Mitzrayim. That's exactly what Chuk is talking about. That musag is katnus hadas. Is the biggest katnus hadas. That musag, that when I go from Kodesh, my own home, into Chol, into a place swarming with Chol, that is. That gives this person a feeling of freedom, of being free, of being relieved from the work of Ma'a Avoida Zois Lachem, which is the question of the Rosh. Ma'a Avoida Zois Lachem, which is the way people go, look at the Jews who stay behind. Ma'a Avoida Zois Lachem. You know who asked that question in the Haggadah, right? I don't have to say. Who asked that question in the Haggadah? Ma'a Avoida Zois Lachem. What a lo yitzlach. If you would have done well, you know, when you're in the market like I did, you'd be able to treat your wife like a queen, and you'd be able to treat your children like princes and princesses, and take them to this resort where a famous rabbi is going to give shiurim, and we're going to have a bais medrash stocked. They always put that in, fully stocked bais medrash, fully stocked stomachs, fully stocked, just fully stocked bais medrash. And for what? This is, I thought I wasn't going to do this today, but I said to myself not to do it. I can't help but talking about godless and katnus, and this is katnus. So I'm leaving the house Pesach. That's a place of churban, right? The house? Churban, look at the house. It's a mess, right? Churban, the house is churban. Afsius, it's nothing. And where am I going? I have my room waiting for me. Yeah, that's in the yeshuv. El HaYeshuv, that's a settled, beautiful, nice place with a beach and warm weather and so on. Look what's going on over here. It's 30 degrees outside. It's almost Pesach. It's cold. I have to stay in a place like this. And so I'm going to the Yeshuv. HaMilui VaHaYeshuv SaKabira VaHesana El Chaya Chayim VaOitzim Mekariusam VaHazramas Shifasam HaMiyam Meleya Menuchas HaMenucha VaHaOiz. But a person of godless Adas knows that Davka, it's the other direction. It's the other direction. It's going from when you're leaving the house, you're leaving the world of Yesh, and you're going to a place of Ayin. And when you come back home, you're turning from Ayin to Yesh. That's the truth. The Metzias Malaya is in the house. These are the walls of my house. This is my family. This is where we say Maida'ani. This is a place that is kosher year-round, kosher year-round, with tefillahs and parents and children and ahava and dveikus, and I'm going to wear churban and afsius mamish, churban and afsius, place of churban and afsius. You're staying in rooms and hotels the whole year, places of tuma, of zima, of gilei raiz, of shvichus dam and mamish. That's what it is. Besides the tarfas in the kitchen, the rooms, the bedrooms, forgive me, are places of tumah, of memtesh shari tumah, of Mitzrayim. Who are the guests there the whole year? Not you. It's not your house. You go to someone else's room. It's memtesh shari tumah. People don't think about it. As long as the beds are made and it smells good and you open the curtain and you see the ocean, there's mamash the yeshuv. It's a place of memtesh sharetum, Gilei Arayis. Who are the guests here the whole year? You're staying in this room? This is where you spend yontif in such a place. Personal, if you think about it, but it's a different world. Hakodesh zu hayeshus, the last line. Holiness, kodesh is yeshus. Holiness is yeshus. Yeah, you have your houses and you don't have any ocean view. You open up and you see that your tree is about to fall on your roof. You open up the curtains and the curtain falls. that's happened to the pole falls. Then I always have to knock it back up. You call for room service and someone screams, "Get it yourself." but that's mamish. That's the real yesh. That's it. That's a lukus. That's the yesh. That's that. That's a lukus. I believe that the people, when they come back from those extravaganzas, those Passover things, I believe that when they come home, this first second when they walk in the house, they feel, smachai, to be home. But they just can't carry that with them when it gets like to, January and the next January, and they start to think about, again, the cleaning, the preparing, the this, that. I want to be a Ben Chayrin. Ben Chayrin. What's Chayrus? It's a whole definition of what Chayrus is. Meleas Menucha. Menucha is found in your place. That's where you find Menucha. The person does not have Menucha when they're someplace else. Isha Beis Bailet says Megillas Rus, right? Umitzena Menucha. You should find rest and peace and tranquility together with your husband in your home. In your home is where you find tranquility. That's where Menucha is. Because that's the emes, that's your place. When you're somewhere else, it's not your place. And when it's not your place, it's not Menucha. Shabbos is Menucha. If your Menucha is if there's a different time of the week, it's not Shabbos, that means that something is wrong. Shabbos is Menucha. The rest of the week is not. The rest of the week is Havel Havel. Shabbos is Menucha. HaKodesh Zu HaYeshus. But when is Shabbos Menucha? Shabbos is Menucha when Kodesh for you is Yeshus. When the true Mitzvah of your life is Kedusha. Now, Mitzvah, we're going to get to it just others, but all this is leading to. When that true Mitzvah is Kedusha, you see that? That's Moichin the Godless. That's Godless Adaz. So then, that's where you find Menucha. So you see, we stayed for a few months. We lived in Shari Chesed, and in this apartment, that's where Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in this place. This is where Tzvi Pesach Frank. Here's where the Shabina Rav lived in this place. On the Chov Ibn Shaprut, this address, that's where the Shabina Rav lived. How did they manage it? So far from Woodmere and from Lawrence and these little hovels that they had over there. And before the Americans came to make, 12 extra floors and fix things up and make it, they lived mamish like this. But when you looked at Rav Shlomo Zalman's face, if you had the schus of ever seeing Rav Shlomo Zalman, everybody saw pictures. Rav Shlomo Zalman was living in a place of simcha, of menucha. That's where he lived. Because for him, Yerushalayim wasn't just a historical landmark. For him, Yerushalayim was the yeshus of kedusha mamish. It was Mitzius Malaya. That was Yerushalayim. It was Mitzius Malaya. And anything that you would have shown to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, if you show him, Rabbi, let me take you and to show him like one of these glamorous, beautiful places in the world, to show him, he's a gelech. It's a joke to him. It's a joke. This is beautiful to you. This is nothing. Mitzius Malaya is Yerushalayim. This little place of this old block somewhere. Yeah, there's a Mitzvah somewhere. Milo achol zu hafsius. Kol erko shel, next page. Just going to do just a little bit more of this now. Kol erko shel achol neveh achverak. Yitokif hayosu mechuber ala kodesh. On page 102. Whatever value chol has, it's only to the extent that it has a connection to kodesh. That it has some connection to kodesh. On a vade shel novus laguf, as I said before, Rabbi Avner is explaining, of course we don't mistreat the body, and we take care of all that we need to take care of in this world. Kvish kaisa Rambam, peregrivim, shana prokim, b'neshi b'soif shel dover, huma haver basis, lahofas an neshama, b'ayla mazak, because the body is the kli, is the vessel, to contain the neshama. We have to treat the body with dignity and with respect, and take care of ourselves. But only because it's the kli that holds the neshama. In of itself, it's just some bus of Adam, it's flesh and blood. But to treat the body in a way that's with covet, derech eretz, is because it's a kli for the neshama. Kishem shakos mahave kli kibul amayim shebesoich, the same way that the cup is the kli kibul for the water. Even though the cup could be crystal, and there could be that cup costs $50. The glass is a crystal glass. But Lamai said, it's not going to help you when you come out of the desert. It's an empty glass. The water is more valuable than the coast, even though the water comes from the sink. And nowadays, water could cost $5 also. I don't know. You have to pay for water. But the crystal glass is just a kli. It's a kli. It's an expensive, pretty kli. So the body is a kli. The body is a kli. It has to be taken care of. To be taken care of in a way that's dignified. And it doesn't mean you have to spend a long time on it. It doesn't mean you have to get meshuggah with your wardrobe and with everything else that you have in you. But it's a kli. Oy kaisav harav. So Rav Kook also writes, Ma'u hadov ha'notil as tam ha'chaim ma'hi higon ha'elyon. He asks a very big question, Rav Kook. What is it that takes away the taste of life from the highest way of thinking? What does that mean? Why is it that when I'm sitting and I'm learning, I don't feel a tam hachayim? I don't have a geshmak. Why is it that when I'm doing a mitzvah, I don't feel a tam hachayim? I'm oisik in something, I'm busy right now and I'm learning. It's higoyin ha'elyon. I'm sitting and learning about Gemara. I'm learning the parashah Chumash Rashi. It's Hashem's thoughts. This higoyin ha'elyon, mamish. These are the highest thoughts in the universe. These are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thoughts. When I'm sitting and learning a Mishnah, Gemara, Chumash, Hanavi, these are Hashem's thoughts. So how come I don't feel a tam achayim? When I'm out, like when I'm out bowling with the guys, and then we go to eat in an expensive restaurant. That's a tam chayim. How come when I'm in shul during the davening, it's like every word is like poison? I try to come late and I try to leave early, and when I'm there, just to make sure the guy doesn't take too long. But then for kiddush, it's a tam chayim. Kiddush is a tam chayim. There I taste life. I don't taste life in the davening. If a Baal Tefillah is going to daven an extra 3 minutes, the Olam is going to kill him. You never saw anything that should happen by the Kiddush that someone would say to the waiter, if you bring out another thing of chant, I'm going to kill you. You ever hear such a thing? That the guy should feel threatened? That the waiter feels threatened if I bring out more food, that these people are going to be upset with me? I never heard anybody like... But if a guy brings out something a little bit more nusach, a little bit more davening, or the rabbi a little bit more tire, then he feels like he could be endangering his life. How come the guy brings out a special extra kugel, or brings out some more fish, not just the bedich of a herring, but also brings out the rest of a herring? So why is it that then everybody says, this is mechai, this is a mechai? That's Rav Kook's question. Why don't I taste life in my ruchnis? Why don't I taste life in my avodas Hashem, in my learning, in my davening? Madu ha'adam eino chash b'chochma ha'elyon has tam achayim. Tam achayim. Mahu inyan ha'mar'il es ha'nefoshes. Shelo yachushu es nom ha'kodesh. What poisons us so that we no longer can taste nom ha'kodesh? Like a person who's sick, he can't taste food. Or the food, not only can test it, it makes him sick. when it makes him sicker. When a person's not well, the food doesn't taste. He doesn't have a tongue. What is it that takes away our taste? Our taste buds for Kedusha. What is it that takes that away? What is it that makes us feel that Pesach is poison, God forbid? That to go outside for a few minutes in the sukkah is, or to sit and to learn. What takes away the Tam HaChaim? To the extent that we don't live our lives completely devoted to that which we feel is the tamachaim. Because if we would feel the tamachaim in these things, we would devote ourselves to them instead of just trying to be parted from them. What is it that the davening has to be 25 minutes during the week, that there are people that they... And most of the people come late and leave early. He means the whole thing after putting on tefillin and taking off tefillin, coming and going is like 10, 15 minutes. Why? Because you don't have the taste of life. You feel that you have to do it. You don't want to get in trouble. But if you would feel that my davening, if you would feel tam achaim in davening, you would value every minute that you could spend davening. Every word would be mamish, delicious. Would be a pleasure. But instead, you want to get out of Kodesh into Chol as fast as you can. Get me out of this place of Kodesh and get me into a place of Chol. So, Vairav Meshiv, now back to Rav Kook's words. So Rav Kook answers, Rak Oysa had Dimyon Hamata. It's this imagination, this mistaken imagination, Hamara es Hoida Atzilus, that has the ability, this crazy, mistaken way of looking at things, has the ability to take Hoda Atzilus, the splendor of true nobility, of holiness, Rav Nir explains, as a Kodesh Vesad Neshama, to take all that is holy, and to take all this neshamadik, and to give us the impression that Bitsura Shemema, that it's like, it's just a waste of time. It's desolation. Shomema means it's empty. I'm empty, my words. I'm just saying. So a person comes to shul, I'm just saying, come to empty words. So of course, I want to get out of here as fast as possible. All of the bewilderment and confusion of life, in other words, takes everything that's holy, that's Metzius HaMalaya, and it gives the impression that that's nothing but emptiness and chaos, like Pesach, getting ready for Pesach. He explains his call. Hatezuzos, hakfitzos, hanesios, hamula v'harasha b'chayim. But when it comes to all of the, what's amazing is that when it comes to all of the jumping and the traveling and the noise of life, it gives us the impression that it's b'tzura miyusheves ubenuya. That's miyusheves ubenuya. Ah, that's gewaldic. That's great. Everything is just v'nahafachu. Mamish v'nahafachu. Kedusha is desolation. It's emptiness. Davening, learning, a mitzvah, mamish, nothing, empty. But when it comes to life, which is filled with jumping and running and traveling and rash and all the noise, davke the other person feels, but through miyusheves ubnuya. Miyusheves ubnuya, that, this is dake, life, this is good. Miyusheves ubnuya. Kilu shadvar malolo him hametzius amitis. Kilu, this is now. I'm back to reality, like that terrible thing when people leave Yontif and say, "I'm going back to the real world, back to the real world." Kilu, that's metzius amitis. From a very early age, the children learn to differentiate between true metzius and false metzius. Parents, we are the ones who give them that perspective. That comes from us. We could blame the school, but from the earliest age, children are going to learn to understand what is, to my parents, mitzius amitis, and what's stam adimion. The children are going to learn that from a very early age, what my parents do on Shabbos, how my mother davens, how the priorities are with Ruchnius and Gashmius. The child is going to learn whether the Mitzius HaMitis is Ruchnius, is Kedusha, or the Mitzius HaMitis is Chal. They learn that at a very, very early age from the parents. They watch everything that the parents do, and they see what gives my parents Simcha and Nachas. What gives them Simcha and Nachas? When do they come back like really in a good mood? When they were away from me, or when they're together with me? Kids pick up on that right away. When do my parents seem more excited? When they're leaving me or when they're with me? When do they seem to be more animated? When they come back from the theater or they come back from shul? They learn very quickly. What is the Metzias HaMaleh? What's Metzias HaMitis? Where do my parents live? What's their Metzias HaMitis? And then the children know this. And then it continues. The child was raised that the Metzias HaMitis is to get away from Kedusha. And then when you get away from Kedusha, that's Metzias HaMitis. They watch the father go to shul on Shabbos, 15 minutes late. They watch him go by Kiddush Club. They watch him at that. So they see that the Metzias HaMitis, my father, is to have his face in a potato kugel. And the Metzias HaMitis of my mother is to have her face, and not in food, because or maybe some people do, but in her clothing or her shopping, whatever it is. That's where her face is. Not that you shouldn't have the piece of kugel, not that she shouldn't have the dress. But what's your Metzias HaMitis? And the children watch. The children watch everything. That's why, I have a chassan who was asking me, there's a fellow that's getting married, so he was asking me, and she was asking me, what do I need to think about most raising children? He's not even married yet. I said, first you have to daven, you should be able to have children. You think everybody's able to have children? There are people that don't have children. So what do you mean, what should I think about most in raising children? So first, daven, you should be able to. So all these, I get these questions a lot. Like, what's the main thing to think about when I'm married? What's the main thing to think about when I'm, to raise kids? So those are like easy answers, and give them some patent answer, some classic thing, and dress it up with a Maimah Chazal or a Chassidus of Art and a story from Rabbi Levine or something. That's the easiest thing in the world. This machshav. But when the answer to that question is that the answer to that question is it's not about any particular vart or a lecture. It's about you yourself being an Ish Kodesh. And if your children look at you and see that you're an Ish Kodesh, they see what's important to you. They see what your values are. Your children are watching you every second to see what's your Metzias. What's the Metzias HaMitis of your life? What's the Metzias HaMitis of your life? They watch that, how you relate to your wife, how the wife relates to the husband. They see that in how you daven. They see that in how you learn. They see that, what do you enjoy? Kids pick up on that right away. What do my parents truly enjoy? That's what I said before. Do they truly enjoy me, their kid? Or I'm just an annoying little thing that they have to deal with and get off to a babysitter, or to find some sort of to find some girl to pay it $12 an hour to watch for the 4 days when, in between school and camp or something. To find some way to avoid my kid. Am I an annoyance? Am I the Metzias or am I not the Metzias? Is Yiddishkeit the Metzias? Yiddishkeit not the Metzias? That's really what the children are looking for. Because everybody's trying to understand what is reality. What's real? What's real in my life? And the cues they're taking are from their parents. What's real to my parents? What's real to my parents? And they understand that, not in words, but they feel that. From a very early age, they feel that. If Zmir's at the Shabbos table, it's a tup, 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 to get over with, to quickly say Zmir's. 30 seconds to say Kol Mekadosh, to get fast over, and then to get back to the, God forbid, to the Lashon Hara Mechilas, and to talk about what everybody in the neighborhood and this and that, and did you hear that this rabbi died, you hear this rabbi had a baby, to get back to all of these things, and to talk about Narishkeit, that's it. Then the children learn from an early age, that's their mitzvahs. That's what they live in. They also said Zmiris. Zmiris was a distraction. Zmiris was a detour. It was a momentary pause from the true mitzvahs. It's just a pause. But now you get back to the regular program. The regular program is Narishkeit. The regular program is Narishkeit. Hevel. It's the regular program. That's what Rav Kook is talking about. And he says it's amazing. Because life, physical life, is filled with jumping and running and noise, and yet you taste a tama of chaim in that. Which Rabbi Nachman said that when he looks at this world, everywhere he looks, all he sees is Gehenna. That's what Rabbi Nachman said. All he sees is Gehenna. That's what he saw in this world, Gehenna. Okay. And the same tzaddik taught, Mitzvah Gedolius B'Simcha Tamid. Because that was the reality he was pulling us into. He was pulling us into the reality of Kudshei B'Yichud Shechintei. That's the reality he was pulling us into. When you live in that world, it's Simcha Tamid. But this world, he said, this world is Gehenna. Amish Gehenna. And in that Gehenna, that you see people, that's the Ikechias that they're having is in Gehenna. Kilu shadvarim halalu heim ha-metzias ha-amitis. Kilu, those things of this world, that's metzias ha-amitis. Ve'il limu Torah zu shmama. But learning Torah is shmama. Like we spoke about last time. The boy's learning in yeshiva, he wants to learn another year, and the parents are very upset with him. You have to get back to life. You have to, again, not suggesting that the boy does not take care of how he's going to make a parnasa. But these lashonos that the kids hear from their parents, the year in seminary or the year in yeshiva is batlanas. We're just indulging you because that's what all the other kids are doing, and we want you to have Jewish identity and da da da. But all that stuff. But we never meant for you to actually come back from seminary believing that this is like the real Mitzvah. We never meant for you to come back from yeshiva like thinking that this is the tachas of your life. It's limud Torah. That's not the tachas of your life. The tachas of your life is that you should be sitting in some office someplace for 14 hours a day so you can be happy like me. That's the tachas of your life, and have lots of money and argue with your kid about going back for a second year, 20 years from now. Limud HaTorah, limud HaTorah, the person, if you limud HaTorah is ushmama, learning Torah is shmama, is mamish emptiness, empty, no tamachayim. Rav Kook writes, Mashu Asheker HaYosem is Su'av Shabbat Olam. Rav Kook has very strong words. He says, this is the most disgusting lie in the world. This is the most harmful, dangerous, disgusting lie in the world. That this world is Mitzius HaAmitis, Mitzius Meleya, and that Ruchnius is Shmama is desolation. That's the biggest lie. It's the most dangerous lie. Hashekher hazeh, Rav Avinair explains, this sheker, Hashekher hazeh, marchik es ha'adam min ha'neshama, creates a distance, a huge distance between the person, the guf, and the neshama, his body and his soul. The body is just supposed to be a kli. But for him, the body is not just a kli, for him, the body is the tachlis. The neshama is a little bit, you have to do something here and there. But the ikr is the guf. So this obviously causes there to be a terrible, terrible distance between the guf and the neshama. Everything is about the guf. And everything is about paying attention to the guf. I remember once when I was 15, something like 15, 16. And somehow it happened, I know the door of the room was open, something, my father passed by, and I was standing by the mirror. Back then I had hair. And I was like I was working on my hair. And my father looked in. And he just looked at me like in a funny way, and he said, Mr. Amaydala. Do I have to translate that? Mr. Amaydala. Are you a girl? And he didn't mean that as an insult. My sister, he liked when she did that. But Mr. Amaydala. I was just combing my hair. I said, Daddy, I'm not allowed to comb my hair. You know, I answer like a kid usually answers. So my father said, oh, you stand by the mirror. Combed by a mirror. He said, he told me afterwards he never, when he was growing, never in his life saw a man standing by a mirror looking like that. It's not my idol. It's a different reality. So you can make fun and laugh and say, come on, that's very, very extreme. Isn't it? Okay, when we get to Shemayim, we'll see what Akash Baruch Hu says. With all the men to the men with their blow dryers. I think Hashem's going to say, but is that my idol? We're gonna go up to Shemayim. Everybody's going to look for an outlet for their... the men are going to be looking for outlets for their blow dryers. The Baruch Shalom's going to say, I made you into a guy. I didn't make you into a girl. You're standing around with your blow dryer. What are you doing over there? It's looking at Metzias. When you hear from a person who's not been affected by the world, and in that way, and you hear it, so it comes like in a very clear way. It's the Metzias. It's the Metzias. The body is a kli. The body is a kli. And it's not healthy for a girl to get too fixated on that either. Just in of course, more and more recovered, like a normal and nice way. But not to become that. This is the whole Metzias. You could have that also. The woman's going for, you know, an older person's going for all different kinds of surgeries. They're pulling her skin like mamish, like on a couch. Pulling her skin like from one way to the next. And you look sometimes, see an old lady, she's 85 years old, and she looks like a fossil with her skin pulled back. And she went for all these surgeries that she should look like she doesn't have wrinkles. Because so that they had to stretch. I know they rounded around the head a few times to see what they did with all the skin. She should look like she's still young. It's Rachmanis. It was a kli. No, it's just a kli. Akadekach, you could have a guy that he's a well-to-do guy, and he gets, you know, he has very, very nice suits. He even has like a matching kerchief. You know, the guys have that, like a little handkerchief coming out of his suit pocket, and he has even like his glasses, his frames. Match his handkerchief, you know that? and he'll look at the, and then he'll meet like there's some coy little guy, like with his shirt half out, you know? And he only has one thing from his glasses, not the other one. You know what I'm talking about? It's like crooked, there's like one eye showing. And he's got, you know, his yarmulke is like from 40 years ago. It's like, it was black originally, but now it gets brown or something, light brown. And the guy with the kerchief is looking at the coy little guy, like, what's the matter with you? How is it in Shemayim? What's the Metzias Amaleya? Now, how does the Baruch Shalom look at these two people? Again, not that I'm saying there's a mitzvah you can't fix, you can fix your glasses, but how does the Baruch Shalom look at these two people? The guy with the spiffy suit with his necktie that's up all the way like to his nose, and he's got the kerchief, and he's got, you know, all the stuff matching, his shoes are shining, everything is gewaldig, and then next to him is this guy that sits and learns 15, 16 hours a day b'emes. Learns Torah, and with Mesiris Nefesh, he's an Oved Hashem, and he looks down on him. He looks at him like he's lo yustloch, he's a shlamazel. What's the matter with him? In the Metzias Ha'amitis, who's the fortunate Jew? Who's the lucky one? Who's the one who made it? Who's the one who made it? Who's the one that really who really made it? Most times it's not even so hard to figure out, because even in this world, this guy, I'm not making fun of it, I don't mean anything bad about people who do that. It's dumb, it's silly, but I don't mean bad. Like, you know, it's something bad. It's not bad, it's just silly. But who made it in the world? This guy oftentimes with the kerchief, he's so angry and upset. And this guy, he sits and learns a Mechaya. Ah, Taisus and Gittin's Mechaya. Ain't Echad Neim to be sir. What a Mechaya. And the other one is mole kas and chema, not davka, but what's the tachlis? And who's the Metzias Ha'amitis? Who's life after 120 can look back and say, Mitzvah Hamitzvah, because in that world, they don't give a hoot about whether your glasses match to your kerchief. You know that? I'm just telling you that. They don't give a hoot of whether or not your shoes were shiny or they weren't shiny. They couldn't care less whether or not your hair is a little bit gray or black, or they don't care in Shemayim about any of this stuff. It means nothing. Ayin mamish. But the hours that you put into your learning and that you put into helping other people, into doing good things, ben lomakim lachaverim, you're davening, that's Yeshus Hamitis, that's Mitzias Hamitis mamish. Mitzias Hamitis. Do you think they give a hoot that you're able to sit, that you're able to sit by the pool on Chol HaMoed in the hotel? You think they care about that? You sit by a pool on Chol HaMoed? You think it's Shemayim? They look fondly upon a guy sitting Erev Pesach by the pool? Do you think so? Or the person that goes, oy vey vey, I have 15 minutes left of Bir Chametz, and he's still putting together this stuff and trying to get the things together to make a Bir Chametz. And Shemayim, who do you think is more respected in Shemayim? Who is the Baruch Hashem more fond of at that moment? The one who's reading the Wall Street Journal, Erev Pesach, sitting by the pool, or the one who's covered from head to toe with filth because he's doing this and running there and he's trying to get ready for Pesach, or the woman that's got 10 things going on in the kitchen is trying to, this one is ready, this thing is not ready, and this one's, you got to peel the potatoes, you have to take care of that. And in Shemayim, in the Mitzvah Amitis, because Shemayim is Mitzvah Amitis, who from Shemayim, who does the Baruch Hashem look down upon and say, ah, he's from Inzer, you know, he's one of my guys, he's one of my girls, the one by the pool or the one in the kitchen? So you can make all the jokes about slaving in the kitchen and being by the pool, but when it comes to Mitzvah Amitis and Shemayim, who does the Baruch Hashem look down and say, this one is one of mine? Yeah, Shkoyach. Shkoyach, shkoyach, shkoyach. This is what I had in mind. This is what I had in mind. This is a Mitzias Amitis. That's a question. That's the question Rav Kook was asking over here. That's the difference between somebody who's living in a world of katnas adas, small das, and godless, moichin the godless. Moichin the godless. You see a Jew that sits and learns Torah day and night, and he's a Yid that works on his Avodas Hashem. And he's got the same suit or the same thing, and he doesn't look as put together, and his life is not. Kiss a person like that. Ashrecha, ashrecha, b'olam hazeh, v'ashrecha l'olam haba. Ashrecha, ashrecha. That's how Hashem Yisbarach looks at such a person. And if you're the one that's, your whole daiga in this world is, how does it look? How is it? And that's your whole daiga. If you're very, very mesupik about how these things are looked at in Shemayim. Ashrecha, ashrecha. You look great in that, you know, $2,000 suit, sipping your $1,000 glass of wine. How do you think they look in Shemayim at those $1,000 glasses of wine? That you should choke on it. To the Jews that don't have what to eat, and you're sitting and you're not ashamed to be drinking a glass of wine like that? To give a taste to your tongue? And you can't taste in a tasteless anything, and you have to drink a glass of wine for $1,000. You're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed. So, what do they say in Shemayim? That's what we have. That's the thought that we have to live with. What are they saying in Shemayim? That's just a simple thing that's called Yiras Shemayim. What are they thinking in Shemayim? How do they think in Shemayim? That's the way we have to live in that mitzvah, because that's the mitzvah I meet this. Hashem's book should help us to live in that world. Simcha, nachas, and bracha. Good Shabbos.